This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
So when we look into this area, it's a huge area we can study using origami as a platform for manufacturing.
Advertisers love to talk about the art of engineering, but this week's guests on Sea Change Radio truly are fusing their high-tech research with art. By incorporating the principles of origami, the traditional Japanese art form of paper folding, with their work in the emerging field of paper battery technology, this Arizona State research team has come up with some exciting new ways to store energy. These researchers believe that origami electronics may be an important new template for the production of things like stretchable electronics or even highly foldable and more efficient solar cells. Listen now as these three academics tell us how simple paper cranes may be the key to solving complex, real-world problems. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by professors Han-Ching Zhang, Hongyu Yu, and Candace Chan, all professors at Arizona State University. Candace, Han-Ching, and Hongyu, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First, why don't you tell us what you've been developing in the battery space?
We have been working on in general area of so-called stretchable, flexible electronics since 8 years ago. The energy storage source is always a challenging problem to solve to make the whole system flexible and stretchable. So consider energy storage is a kind of complex system. You have electrodes, separator, electrolyte, and packaging. How to make the system flexible is really challenging because people usually use soft material to make the system flexible. However, for the battery development, the safety is a very important concern. So therefore, our original thinking is, can we use all standard materials and all standard packaging approach to make a battery flexible and stretchable? Okay. Now, we keep our idea of using origami because we are thinking about paper folding.
And this is not just a normal lithium-ion battery. And maybe go back and explain what a paper battery is for those at home who aren't familiar.
So paper batteries employ paper as one of the major components. So batteries, they're prepared on metallic substrates, usually. So the metallic substrates impart electronic conductivity, so they allow the electrons to transfer throughout the battery so that the electrochemical reactions that store the charge can occur. So we need to have these electrons transfer through the substrate, and the problem with metallic substrates is that they're kind of heavy and they aren't very flexible. So if you try to apply a lot of stresses to it over time, then they can break. So people have become interested in using paper as substrates for different types of devices, not just batteries. So the reason why paper is attractive is because it's abundant. Some people could say that it's a sustainable material. And also you can use it to impart all sorts of flexibility to devices. So people have become very interested in using paper substrates to get flexible or bendable devices.
And has that been put into commercial use yet?
As far as I know, I don't think they're in any major commercial devices. A lot of this research has been going on at the university level, and so is still at the basic R&D stages. One of the challenges we had to look at was if we wanted to impart flexibility or deformability to an energy storage device so that it could be compatible with flexible and deformable electronics, we really had to re-engineer the battery. So like Han-Ching mentioned, a lot of the components in a regular battery are not really easily to be deformed. So imagine if you have a paperclip and you take your paperclip and you bend it repeatedly, eventually it's going to break. So that's the same thing with the battery. If you take a battery and you deform it many times, at some point the materials inside are going to break. So we were inspired by origami, where you have pieces of paper and you can fold them into different shapes. And so what we wanted to do was try to take that concept and put it into batteries. And we did that specifically by just taking regular paper and modifying it so that it could be used in a battery. So regular paper is not very conducting, so it doesn't conduct electrons. And what the components in the battery need to be able to conduct electrons for the battery to work. So what we did was we took ordinary paper and we modified it with a nanomaterial called carbon nanotubes. And carbon nanotubes are very conducting. And by coating them onto the paper, we essentially imparted conductivity to the paper. So what we did was we took out the ordinary conducting components of the battery that are made out of metal, and we replaced them with our now conducting paper. So now the paper is conducting, so it can work on our battery. And most importantly, we can still fold the paper just like ordinary paper. And that allowed us to be able to use folding and then more complicated origami shapes to make the battery adopt more complicated configurations.
Can you take a step back and explain a little bit of the history of these very flat, thin batteries, not just your developments, but in the whole space?
So there's a huge effort to develop a thin-film battery. The thin-film batteries make not only the paper-based battery, it's a kind of standard material, standard current collector make a battery. The battery is very thin. For example, it's less than 1 millimeter. That's a piece of paper. You can bend it. You can fold it. You can wrap around with cylindrical objects. But this battery is only flexible. So here, our target is not only flexible, it's fully deformable, which means you can stretch, you can twist, you can bend. Therefore, we have to use a new strategy. Specifically, we use origami to make the whole structure deformable.
Why don't you explain some of the potential uses for a folding battery versus just a straightforward paper battery?
Let's think about a folding battery as a battery can be deformed, can be stretched. Okay, think about it this way: if you have a battery on your clothes have a little bit foldability, and basically you can wrinkle it. You know, do a wrinkle, you have bending, you have a little bit of stretching. So the ideal case for the flexible battery is not only bendable but also stretchable, twistable, bendable.
And what kind of capacity do you expect these batteries to be able to achieve soon?
So right now we're using the same materials that store charge in the non-paper batteries. And so because we're using the same materials, a lot of the characteristics are the same. And so one of the things that we've been looking at is to see how the battery performs under all the folding and the bending. And our batteries perform very well. So we have some videos up on YouTube that show that the voltage of the battery doesn't change very much when you're bending it and folding it. And also you can see that the batteries can light an LED during the whole process of all the different configuration changes that are imparted to it. So what this really means is that if we have some sort of electronic device, like maybe a sensor or maybe some sort of wearable cell phone or something, that if you're going to do things to it, like twist it around or bend it, that you can have your battery attached onto it and also undergo the same deformations and still be able to output the same amount of charge.
Where's the low-hanging fruit for paper batteries? Is it in cars, in the appliances at home, or is it in lab material and things like that? Where are the most obvious usage for paper batteries in your estimation?
So I would guess it's more consumer electronics. It's not a vehicle or appliance level. It's more like a relatively small, low capacity, but more versatile applications. Because as Candice mentioned, compared with metallic substrates, the paper-based battery is more flexible and lighter.
Why don't you walk us through a dream scenario of some of our consumer electronics and how they could possibly and potentially be using products like yours?
We are thinking about this so-called wearable electronics, like the smart watch or the implant device that you have. The flexibility is maybe the most important concern, rather than how much energy you can store in the energy storage devices.
So this doesn't compare to like a AAA or AA battery in terms of its storage, or does it? Because it's lithium ion based.
I think at this stage, as Candice mentioned, the main efforts for the paper-based battery is still in the university level, it's R&D level. So the how to make the battery work and how to make the reliability improved, maybe the curve still is a concern, not how much energy you can store at this stage. But I think eventually by coding, by doing a stacking structure, by doing the origami type of folding structure, we can eventually increase the energy capacity to reach a similar level as AAA battery.
SeaChange Radio is made possible by support from Presidio Graduate School in San Francisco, offering MBA and MPA degrees in sustainable management. Learn more at presidioedu.org.
To listen to SeaChange Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking with researchers from Arizona State University, Candice Chang, Han Cheng Zhang, and Hung Yu Yu. So let's turn to the origami part of things here. Are any of you hobbyists and familiar with origami? If I had invited any of you over to my daughter's birthday party, could you have made a paper crane, for example? Why don't you walk us back and explain where you found the inspiration for applying these traditional Japanese art forms into your science?
It is a very interesting question. Actually, when I told my son, my seven-year-old son, what I'm doing, he was no idea what I'm doing. But when I figured out using origami to do something cool stuff, he thought it's a professor, he's so cool, can do things, can inspire young kids. So actually, we learned the origami concept when we were thinking about how to make the structure flexible, stretchable, without using soft material. Because the first impression, if you were talking about flexible, stretchable, people thinking about the rubber bands, it's elastomer, rubbery material. But this material cannot be used in battery particularly, because the safety is a concern. So we are thinking, can we use relatively rigid material to make the structure flexible? And we came up with the idea of the origami. The origami is the ancient art of making 3D structure from 2D sheets. That is to make the sheets highly, foldable and deformable. That's why we came up with the idea of using origami to do a highly deformable lithium-ion battery.
Now, did the origami kind of, once you hit upon that area, did that open up new worlds for your research, or was it, you've already developed this battery, and look, we can now bend it into origami shapes. Was it the chicken or the egg?
So when we start working on origami, this kind of concept, we found it's a very new open world for us to doing research. And basically, we name this as kind of origami electronics. So battery is not only product we are working on. We also working on another such like origami solar panel, origami antenna, this kind of thing. So it's a whole new research area we are going in right now.
How does the origami fold differ from a traditional manufacturing process with paper batteries? How is it different in that you're bringing these 2D flat objects into? Are you trying to make them into beautiful shapes, or is it really just that you're demonstrating the deformability of your product?
We can say we want to go both direction. Basically, if you fold that, it look attractive for the people, right? Just like you have cell phones, if it's attractive, people like to buy that. That's one direction. Second direction is really for normal deformable electronics or flexible electronics, whose subject you need to bend or you need to fold. Okay, in that case, lots of high performance electronics, you cannot build that on the substrate. Okay, in our case, we use origami. For origami, only the crease part you need to fold or bend. Other part, and there's lots of flat surface. On the flat surface, we can build high performance electronics parts. So in that case, we can integrate this platform with current existing microfabrication to put lots of CPU, sensors, or communication chips on that. So it's kind of a hybrid integration to put everything, high performance things with our new origami platform.
You spoke about the micro fabrication. Give us an idea of the actual size that we're talking about of the paper that you would be folding. This is not like an 8x11 normal notebook page, right?
Actually, it is.
Oh, okay.
The batteries we've made so far are that size that you mentioned. And so we can... That's one of the neat things about this battery is that we can make them on a large scale, and then we can use the origami folding patterns to compact them. So one of the things that we discovered was that we can actually increase the amount of energy density per unit area by using the folding. And so this is really neat because it's relatively easy to make these flat planar batteries, but it's difficult to make them so that they can store a lot of energy on a small footprint. And so by using this origami pattern called the Muraya folding, we were able to use the folds to compact the battery, and we increased the energy density about 14 times over the unit area.
And the Mura pattern has already been used to simulate solar panel arrays, isn't that correct?
Yes, Mura is the name of a Japanese professor, and he developed this Mura patent for the aerospace application, for the antenna, for the solar panel. They packed to this very compact form before launch. But this our work on the origami battery is the first demonstration using origami to do the energy storage. Also, a follow-up on Professor Justin Hongyu mentioned that this is the big area we just opened up. We call it origami-based manufacturing. And also, the beauty of the origami one is the origami is size insensitive, meaning we can work on large area device like solar panel. It's several,
tens of centimeter by 10 centimeter,
or we can work on very small device, a few micron by few micron. The origami structure itself is size independent.
Looking into the future, do you envision this being a product that can be shipped flat with just instructions on how to fold, or is this something that would have to be pre-folded for a consumer electronics user to insert into their product?
I think that depends on the size of your device. If your size is relatively large, we can fold, we can shape it with a planary format and send it with instruction. And the manufacturer can fold after they have the planary format. If the size of the device is very small, for example, if you have a 20 micron by 20 micron CPU chip on an origami platform, we have to create the crease, pre-patterned crease. We have to create... we have to differentiate the mountain crease versus valley crease. Then the whole device before shift is already pre-patterned. It already have origami creases.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/seachangeradio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to a research team from Arizona State University, Professors Candace Chang, Han Ching Zhang, and Hong Yu Yu. They're researchers who are developing a origami paper battery, a lithium ion battery, which can be folded. What problem do you think this is solving in terms of sustainability? You mentioned how paper is a much more ecologically friendly substrate than metal. But what other areas do you think that this could be a breakthrough for the environmental movement?
Well, thinking ahead to potential applications in electric vehicles, with these batteries, we can decrease the weight of the battery. So currently in electric vehicles, the battery packs are quite heavy. And so the car has to be able to carry its own weight and the battery weight. So by decreasing the battery weight, we can improve the energy density and try to improve the sustainability of the entire electric car itself.
So you think that these batteries will eventually have the capability to replicate a lithium-ion battery that's in a Prius?
We hope so. So we're working towards improving the performance of the battery and trying to see what other capabilities it can have in other potential applications.
And I imagine also the recycling of these batteries would be something that would be a big breakthrough compared to a lot of the challenges that the electric vehicle industry face.
Yeah, so, well, we haven't really explored that yet, but just by thinking about how paper is recycled all the time now, and how if you want to recycle anything metallic, there are different heat treatments that are required, and all these are very energy intensive, whereas with paper recycling, the energy costs related to that are much lower. So just based on that, and extending that, so we have paper batteries versus conventional batteries using metals, we can anticipate that the recycling issues will not be as bad. But we haven't explored that yet in the lab.
So you mentioned how most of the efforts to produce a paper battery thus far have been at the university level and in the research level. What would it take for a larger capital infusion to take this from the laboratory and to the manufacturing level? Does a company need to step up, or are these governments and universities that need to continue funding these efforts, in your opinion?
In my personal opinion, since the current regime to make this paper-based argon batteries matures basically all standard. So if company step in to further development, it is appropriate. Actually, there has been some company has been contacting us, try to get know more into detail, technical detail of this origami battery.
Has this technology been patented yet? And if so, who would own the patent? You guys or the university?
We already filed a patent, but the university owns the patent. We're just inventors.
I see. So it sounds like the breakthrough might be just as much in origami electronics as paper battery technology. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. Our origami battery, as I mentioned, our Candice and Hanting mentioned, is one of our major research thrusts right now. But we have working on origami for a few years, and we have several things going on. And so this origami electronics will be very attractive for lots of other applications. For example, I want to give you one example, which is space exploration things. For example, if you want to have very, very small satellite in the space, you want to launch this with very small format, so you can fold all this battery, solar panel, whatever, in very, very tiny space. And when you go up to the space, you can expand that. So that is a very exciting application of this origami electronics. So basically, I want to say this origami electronics open a whole world for us to do this kind of deformable electronics and applications, such like space or wearable electronics.
So this origami area, we want to call it origami engineering. Simple origami geometry. So in origami area, people are working origami traditionally is artists, mathematicians, and educators. But it is very rare engineers get into the area of origami to apply, to approach the application of origami. So when we look into this area, it's a huge area we can study using origami as a platform for manufacturing. So that's what we call it origami-based manufacturing.
And do you think this might be a template for engineers to look towards the art world for more inspiration?
Yes, I truly believe.
Some of the applications that we've seen are like fractals, for example, which was kind of a confluence of technology and art. And as computer art continues to develop, those lines are being blurred every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, origami is another example.
Did you consider bringing in any origami experts or art professors from your university?
At ASU, we don't have any expert, you know, real expert on origami. But I have been in contact with Professor Mura. He's the Japanese professor who developed this pattern. And he's very interested on his paper. So I'm going to Japan and meet this here to this conference on origami. It's origami for mathematics, education, and art. But there's no only component missing, which is engineering. I want to explore the collaboration with real origami artists to really get into this area.
Basically, this kind of research is we call multidisciplinary research. We need to have different expertise from different areas. Just like Candice is from material engineer, Hanqing is from mechanical engineer, I'm from electrical engineer. Also, we have a collaborator from mathematics, computer science, or something like that. So it's basically we need to gather all the expertise from different disciplines and work together on this area. So we form a team to work on together.
They are the multidisciplinary research team from Arizona State University, Professors Candice Chang, Han Cheng Zhang, and Hong Yu Yu. Thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Tower of Power, Beck, and Capital Cities. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.